as you just sit and receive, the Lord's going to continue to heal. He's going to continue to restore. And it's going to be to glorify His name. So good to be back. Like Jed said, we've been in America for a year and had an amazing time, and it's so good to be back and see what God's doing. And the crazy thing is that God's at work everywhere around the world, and we're living in times of acceleration. We're living in times of acceleration where things that once took years and decades to steward are literally happening overnight. And it's just so exciting to be born now, to be born in this era where God is doing amazing things. I just want to thank everybody here for your love, for your support, for your prayers for us. You guys are amazing. We love you. And it's just great to have people at home that are so faithful and loyal and just so faithful just to serving God. And I believe that this church is full of people that just love the Lord and are so loyal and faithful. And I just want to honor you guys for that. I saw the Renos. They look amazing. I just want to honor Jared and the team for doing that. I'm sure it wasn't an easy task, but it looks amazing. And it's great to see something that was, you know, dreams and plans for years become a reality. And that space being used is amazing. So, yeah, so good to see. Recently, I heard this quote that said, "Once we've experienced fire, smoke will never do." Once we've experienced the fire of God, smoke will never do. And oftentimes we don't realize, but we're actually living in an environment of smoke. And I love this church because there's so many solid people that are living every day with this burning fire of God inside them. So often we can just be happy with a smoky environment. And in the last year, I've experienced the fire of God. I've experienced His love and His fire. And once we experience that, nothing else matters. It's all about Him. It's always ever been about Him. Once we experience the love of God, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And He took me across the world to tell me this simple thing, that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. End of story. Jesus loves me. And before then, I knew about it as a principle, a theology, but I experienced His love. And when we taste that love and that fire of God, we still have a choice. We can still retreat back into a smoke environment, but we're wrecked forever because we've tasted the fire. We've experienced His love. And honestly, nothing matters. Our agendas, our pride, all the things we once held on to. When we see those eyes of blazing fire, nothing matters. When we feel His heart of compassion and love, nothing matters. It's all about Him. It's always ever been about Him. Wow, it's quiet in here. I was reading in Mark the other day, a passage in Mark 5, and the Lord so highlighted it to me, and it's such a word for myself, but I believe it's for our church this morning, today. I believe defining moments are going to happen in people's lives today. Not tomorrow. That dreams are going to be restored. Hope is going to be ignited. It's going to be a defining moment for people today. Mark 5:35. If you got your Bibles, if we go there, Mark 5, verse 35. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing outside. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is crazy. This is the story of Jesus and this man who's in dire need for a miracle. His daughter's sick. He comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, come and just lay hands on my daughter so she'll be well. And as Jesus is moving through the crowd, as he's ministering to other people, as he's doing his stuff, they get this word, the facts that the daughter is now dead. And the interesting thing is that everybody that heard this report from his house that the daughter was dead, their heads dropped, their hope went. There was no hope left. There was one person who ignored the facts. It says, Jesus, ignoring what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid and just believe. This morning I feel like the Lord wants to declare over your life and over Hope Point, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid and just believe. Don't give in to fear, but just believe the word of God over your life. Everybody heard the same report with their ears, but there was one person, Jesus, who ignored, who pushed aside the facts, and he said, don't give in to fear, but only believe. Denial is never the answer. Burying our head in the sand is never going to amount to anything. But it's when we look at the facts straight in the eye, and what we do is we actually anchor our heart, our affection, our trust above the facts. And we come into this place of trust where we see the facts, we see the disappointing news, we see the health report. We hear the stories about relationship issues in our family. We wake up and see the sickness of our kids. We wake up and we hear the destructive nature of things going on us around us. But rather than listening to the facts, we anchor our hope and affection in one who is bigger than that. Because Jesus is King. And that's a big deal. Jesus is King. And that's it. Everything's settled. Jesus is King. Who's ever been up at night anxious and stressing about an issue or a circumstance. I'm sure we all have. We toss and turn, we don't get good sleep, we're rolling around, we're thinking about worst case scenarios, we're going down a path of what may happen. So the reality is, we all know how to meditate. So now we just have to change the subject matter. And the Lord is calling us right in this season to not give in to fear, but only believe. Fear and unbelief are one of the most socially accepted sins in the church. Don't give in to fear, but only believe. Only believe. I just even believe right now that the Lord is actually igniting hope in people that have come in here and you're tired. And it actually feels like an emotional battle to believe again. It actually feels like there's been a lifestyle of fear and anxiety around situations, about even the future, about health reports, about what doctors have said, about relational issues. And the Lord is actually beginning to ignite hope. And if you feel like you're hopeless in this place this morning, just allow Him. Just sit and receive. Just allow Him. Because the words are spirit and that will bring life. This is the word of the Lord. This is truth, and the truth will set you free. Allow that to just impact your heart. Allow that to just impact your soul. And hope will arise. I think we just need to stop being impressed by the devil. And this year I learned that. Because there was plenty of areas that I had been impressed by the devil. And the Lord's taught me, and is teaching me, that I give way too much credit to the enemy for the things going on. We need to stop being impressed by what the enemy is doing and focus our attention on Him. Because Jesus is King. That's it. Jesus is King. That means everything must bow at the name of Jesus. That means that there's not one cell in your body that can stay there. It must bow to the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, it says that everything will become submissive to the name of Jesus. Every situation, everything. The issue is that it's not about Jesus not being big enough. It's the fact that when we believe a lie, we don't just entertain a negative thought pattern, but we actually empower the liar. When we believe a lie, we empower the liar. We empower Satan to work in our life just by coming in agreement with him. You know, Jesus said after his death and resurrection, he said, "All authority has been given to me." That means there's somebody who has none. The enemy's got no authority. I think one of the fascinating things that we'll realize, we'll be surprised at when we get to heaven, is how big God is and how small the enemy is. But why we often feel that we're in spiritual warfare against the enemy and he's so large in our life, it's not because he's big, but because we've actually come in agreement with his lies and we've empowered him to take authority and influence in our life. Jesus said, ignoring what they said, he said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." when I was like 6 or 7 years old, I had an encounter with God. And that got shared with a few people, and all of a sudden I was at school and people were talking about it in the schoolyard, mocking me, ridiculing me for this encounter that I had. So as an innocent 7-year-old boy, I let that fear of man come and take root in my life. And from those years on, I remember resenting the fact that I had an encounter with God because of the ridicule and the mocking for other kids that were innocent but didn't understand. See, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to prey on weak, innocent young people. And at the age of 7, I allowed, even though I was innocent, I'm just a little kid, but the enemy came in as a fear of man and ate my lunch for nearly 30-odd years to where I was afraid of people, what they thought. And it wasn't until recently when the Holy Spirit took me back to that and said that was the very place where the enemy came into your life and planted that seed of resentment, of fear of man. And for the last 12 months, I've been running at my fears. Because I'm not going to let him eat my lunch anymore. The Lord is looking for people that will just believe what he says. And the enemy comes in these very vulnerable moments. Sometimes it's in our childhood. Sometimes it's in any time, and he attacks us. And oftentimes it leaves a mark that we carry on for years. But I believe today God is wanting to free people from the enemy's influence in their lives. Maybe there's an experience that happened when you were a child and it's not your fault. But today God's going to set you free. He's going to set you free, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Second Timothy 1:7 is a well-quoted verse. It says, "For God did not give me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind." It's interesting there. It says, "God does not give me a spirit of fear." The implication is that this fear that I'm talking about is a spirit. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. He has come to set us free. He has come to give us life. Did you know that all your thoughts are not your own? Who's ever been driving? Now, I understand some thoughts, we do the wrong thing, we steward the wrong thought processes, and then it creates pathways in our mind that we've endorsed. But not all thoughts are your own. Who's ever been driving along and all of a sudden you have this terrible, lustful thought about something, someone? Are you driving along and this thought just comes like, I'm just going to drive the car off the side of the road? Suicidal thoughts, or thoughts about the worst possible scenarios. These thoughts are not yours. And while we keep beating ourselves up trying to work out this wrestle that we think's going on between the flesh and the new creation, we actually end up turning inward rather than actually seeing that it's the work of the enemy, and rather resisting the enemy and he will flee. Those thoughts are not yours. The Lord wants to declare over people today that these thought patterns have going on in your head, they're not yours. And as soon as you hear the truth and you break allegiance with the enemy and his thoughts, you'll be set free. this is not meant to be a years and years in counseling, although that's all so good, and inner healing and that type of thing. This is just breaking allegiance with the enemy's thoughts, and we're set free. I had the privilege to go to Guatemala on a missions trip, and the guy who led the trip was a guy who was in healing rooms at Bethel. He's 70 years old, and he's one of the most wildest men I've ever met. This guy's wild, and I knew that I needed to get around somebody like this. And it literally offended every part of my brain possible, being around this guy. It offended everything, but it was so good. And his name's Chuck, and he's seen crazy things happen. He's seen people raised from the dead. He's died himself, gone to heaven, obviously come back, and just seen crazy things, encounters with God. And when we turned up in Guatemala, developing countries are often different in the sense that the supernatural is on display. We turned up there, and literally you could cut it with a knife. The supernatural was on display. We saw over 300 people healed. We saw 1,500 people saved in 10 days. And the exposure of that was amazing. But one of the biggest things that I found in it was I went into this house in a very rural part of Guatemala. I went into this house and there was a family there. And we were just visiting the area. We went in to pray for the family. And we were just about to leave and we were just praying a blessing over the family. And this 5-year-old girl, she went as stiff as a ball. She rolled back on the bed and her eyes started rolling back in her head. She had a demon. And there's only a few of us there and we got to set this girl free. She's tormented. The supernatural realm is so real. And I looked this 5 or 6-year-old girl in the eyes as she was not in control of her body. This is a girl who's never heard anyone even speak English, let alone speak it herself. And we started to speak to this demon and cast out the demon, and she was growling like a dog, talking to me in English. After a while, that girl was totally set free and we left. But the supernatural realm is real. It's on display. We went into these places and you can just feel it. You can just feel the oppression, but you can also feel the fact that the gospel has never been in these places and King Jesus is here. And he conquers everything. Here in a Western culture, in America and Australia, it's slightly different. I believe the enemy's, he doesn't have to manifest in those physical ways, because he actually has the church crippled a lot of the time, believing the lies and empowering him, which makes us ineffective. So much of our life is spent believing the lies that the enemy has. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So wherever there's death, loss, or destruction, it's evidence that the enemy is at work. And the Lord's looking for people that will rise up and believe the truth. Like I said, entertaining a thought pattern of fear, anxiety, it's not just a negative thought. We're actually empowering the enemy to have influence in our life. And I'm not a devil-focused person. It might seem this morning that I'm talking a lot about the enemy. This is what the Lord gave me to preach, and I'm being obedient to that. I'm not devil-focused. I only want to know enough about the devil so I can pull the trigger. I'm not interested in knowing everything about him. My focus is on him. It's possible that the Lord will do amazing things even in the process of ignoring what the enemy's up to. But we have to be aware of what the enemy's tactics are. Second Corinthians 5 verse 17. I love this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. For those of us who have surrendered our life to Jesus, we've given our life to him, we've asked him to take control of our life, we're a new creation. Paul goes on in Romans and talks about so many times that we're dead. We're dead. A lot of the times we end up trying to fight the flesh. The flesh can sometimes be weak, but it's not corrupt. We no longer have a sinful nature. We're a new creation in Christ. And the truth will set us free. The truth will set you free. The enemy works hard to make us believe that we're warring against ourselves. We're warring against the flesh. Like I said, the flesh is weak, but we don't have a sinful nature. We're a new creation in Christ. And sometimes I feel there's people here that thoughts and lies are coming into you that's actually driving you to the point of insanity. I believe that even right now, as you just break allegiance with them and you just declare right now, they're not mine, the Lord is going to see, there's going to be breakthrough in your life. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. Lord, I just bless what you're doing even right now. Thank you, Lord, that your truth is bringing freedom. And Jesus, just like you said, don't give in to fear, only believe. Sometimes fear can be in our life and we don't even realize it because we've grown so accustomed to being used to it in our lives. Who's ever been fretting when maybe their spouse is like late home from work or something? Sometimes we always think the worst. You know, rather than thinking that the boss has pulled them into the office to give them a promotion, we're thinking car accident. We're thinking something devastating has happened. It's all the spirit of fear. Maybe you're living with health issues and you've got the doctor's report. The Lord wants to encourage you today to silence those facts. Don't live in denial, but just anchor your hope and affection in him. Just let that rise above anything that might come against you. Maybe there's relational issues in your life where relationships that you have and just even fear about the future. The Lord's come today so that He's going to set you free from those mindsets and those things that have plagued your mind. Just as we finish up, if you feel like you've been battling with fear, it could be in the last 5 minutes or it could be in the last 50 years. You feel like you've let the enemy's lies impact. You feel like you've possibly come in with allegiance with the enemy and let him influence and empower your life. He wants to break those off today. He wants to set you free. If that's you, I just invite you to stand where you are. There's no shame. Usually the people who the enemy attacks is the ones who are moving forward in the purposes of God. If you've had fear and always thinking the worst and fear about a negative report, health report, or fear about relationships or fear about your kids. I felt there was someone here who's got a small child that is fearing the worst. If that's you and you want to be free, just stand up where you are. Like I said, there's no shame. He attacks those who are moving forward in the purposes of God. And even right now, I see just weights lifting off people. Thank you, Jesus. I see just weights lifting off people of years of fear and intimidation. There's some people here and you're finding it difficult to stand because of fear, shame. He wants to set you free today. He's come here to set you free. I've seen personal breakthrough in my life. And freely I have received and freely I'm going to give. I just thank you, Lord, right now. For every person that is standing. I just declare in the name of Jesus that fear has no part in them. Fear has no room in this church, in their lives, in this family, in this community. And right now in the authority of Jesus, I remove fear. I remove this spirit of fear. And God, I thank you for love. I thank you for your love because perfect love casts out all fear. I thank you for your love in this place. That, Lord, those who were once tormented would turn it and torment the tormentors. we're just going to sing a song, and I'm just going to move around the room and lay hands on you. If any of the other leadership want to pray, that would be great too. We just want to stand with you and just see an end to fear and anxiety and stress and the very thing that the enemy would come. I just believe God wants to set us free today. Amen.